L-E-T-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we start off today's show talking with Titans head coach Brian Callahan. He and Rand Carthon are at the NFL Combine. They spoke with the media earlier today. So we will catch up with Brian Callahan here in just a couple of moments. We're live out here at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena because the Predators take on the Ottawa Senators tonight. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. Pre-game coverage starting at 6 p.m. on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Back at Bridgestone Arena after that freaking red hot road trip, 5-0-0 on the road trip. Now, the Predators haven't been playing their best hockey at Bridgestone Arena, and you know I've been afraid of the Zag D-Mace. And tonight, the Predators take on a not very good team in the Ottawa Senators, so it should be a good game tonight, and it is fun to have hockey and a playoff race here at Bridgestone Arena. Willie Donick will join us shortly. D-Mace is here. How are we doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. This time, I'm excited to have the head coach on, Brian Callahan, to, you know, discuss the Titans and the state of the offense. And that's something that I'm sure everybody wants to hear. We had Rand on with Chase and Big Joe last hour. We got a chance to hear Rand at the Combine as well. So it's going to be nice to hear Coach.
And joining us now is Titans head coach Brian Callahan. Brian, appreciate you for joining us. I know that this week is a busy one, so we appreciate you taking the time to chat with us today. First and foremost, I wanted to start off with a topic that we have been talking about ad nauseum. I know a lot of Titans fans have been talking about as well, and that's receiver or offensive line in the first round. Before we get into specifics, kind of wanted to talk about more philosophically. When you look at, you know, receiver versus offensive line, setting your young quarterback up for success, what do you think is more important? Is that being great, you know, having elite protection up front for the quarterback, or can you afford to be good and get the job done up front on the offensive line if you have elite and great pass catchers?
Yeah, it's a great question. Obviously, I've been a part of this debate before. And we ended up selecting Ja'Marr Chase. I do think that there's a value in surrounding the quarterback with capable weapons. And they come in a lot of different forms, receivers, backs, tight ends. The more of those guys you have, the better it's going to be, the more chances the quarterback has for success. The flip side of that argument is that it's hard for a quarterback to complete balls if he can't get the ball off and he's got to evade pressure at a high rate. And so I think there's arguments for both. I've always generally fallen on the side of having players that can score touchdowns is what matters in today's NFL. But that also shouldn't be assumed that I dismiss the importance of having a good offensive line, because I certainly do not dismiss that. But if you're looking philosophically, that's generally where I've leaned in my career. But I think every year and every situation is different.
Absolutely. Titans head coach Brian Callahan is with us. You bring it up. You were in this situation in 2021 with the Cincinnati Bengals. It's like deja vu all over again. You know, you had the opportunity to either take the offensive lineman, give Joe Burrow some protection, ultimately went with Ja'Marr Chase. You say that traditionally, philosophically, you've taken the touchdown score. I know you were on with our colleague Jared Stillman a few weeks ago, and you said, look, it came down to, do we take the elite touchdown scorer or do we take the elite player that can't score touchdowns? Obviously, you went with the elite touchdown scorer. I know that no player is Ja'Marr Chase, and it's not fair to compare other players to Ja'Marr Chase. But also, Ja'Marr Chase isn't the only elite touchdown scorer in the National Football League. Do you view Rome Odunze or Malik Nabers or both as elite touchdown scorers in the National Football League?
Yeah, those guys are really impressive, a little bit that I've seen. Obviously, I'm kind of just starting the college scouting process. But, man, those guys are pretty dynamic, both very different, skill sets and styles. But they can both play football. And, you know, I think one of the things that's, you know, unique and probably different than it was in this current situation is in Cincinnati we were picking at 5, and we were picking against two players that were both pretty well consensus that they were going to be all pro caliber players. And so the talent level was equal, and all things being equal, we chose to go with the guy that, that could score points. I don't know that that's necessarily going to be the case every year in the draft. And so picking a seven, there might be a tackle that is a better player ultimately than the receiver, or a receiver that is better than whatever tackle is available. And in that case, you have to make that decision. I don't think that you can take that situation in Cincinnati and necessarily totally parallel it to where we are now. It makes for good conversation, but I do think the situations are dramatically different, and the types of players are going to be very different. But the good thing is there's a lot of really good ones to pick from when you're picking at seven.
We'll talk with Brian Callahan, the Tennessee Titans' new head coach. Now, Coach, I'm going to stay on the theme of the wide receivers, obviously, because I was a former wide receiver myself.
Absolutely.
How do you approach, because like you said, you got to have touchdown scores. But how do you approach a situation like Treylon Burks, where he's been here 2 years going on three, he's shown flashes, and I'm sure you scouted him coming out of college. He's shown flashes, but he's had some really, like, odd injuries. No hamstring pulls, anything like that, but just odd sort of injuries during the year or before the camp start. How do you approach that situation?
You know, I think there's an element for him of personal accountability in that, and getting himself ready to play. You know, I know that that's been a up and down issue for him as far as being physically in the right place, in the right space to go perform at a high level. And hopefully he's learned those lessons. I think you're exactly right, though. He does flash. He has talent. He has ability. And part of my job and our job as an offensive coaching staff is to put him in position to do things that he does well. And hopefully we can, with the strength training regimen and with the practice regimen, hopefully we can help him stay healthy. That's also part of our job, too. And I think that he's got the ability and talent to help us. And our job is to try to find out the best way to get it from him. And I think that when you have good players, you got to do your best to get something out of them. And even though he's been inconsistent in his previous two seasons, he's got a fresh start with us. And hopefully he takes advantage of that and comes ready to roll in April when we start up.
And I guess that's all a player wants, especially when a new head coach comes in and they've had difficulty standing a lineup or even, you know, getting playing time. They just want a clean slate, and it seems like you guys are going to give Treylon that. Now, in regards to the offensive line, you know, I don't want to say your dad because I want to keep this more coach to coach, but Bill,
sure.
What he's able to do and what he's been able to do with offensive linemen, does that give you a little leeway to not necessarily, because, you know, everybody, the question is, will the Titans take an offensive lineman in the first round or will they take a receiver? Having someone like Bill on the staff, does that give you the leeway to potentially, if you don't see that guy you want in the first round, you can push it off to the second round because Bill has done an exceptional job at developing offensive linemen?
Yeah, I think that does work into our advantage for sure. I think he's as good a developer of offensive line talent as anybody in football. So that's the unique advantage that we have. I will say he'll be the first to tell you, and I'll be the second, that it's hard to replace. It's hard to replace great players. So if you have a chance to get an impact player up front, it is hard to falter there. And if you got a great talent and great coaching, now you have yourself a chance to have a dynamic player for your offensive line. But it does give us an advantage in the sense that he's as good at developing linemen as anybody in football. And we all know over the course of a season, you're going to have to play with a bunch of them. And you got to have depth and you got to have good coaching in order to make those guys have an impact when you need them, when you call on them to come play for you. And inevitably, you're going to play with probably 8 or 9 different linemen over the course of a season, and they all have to be up to the task. And thankfully, we have my dad here to do that. And you know, I think there's some interesting talent on our roster, too, that I'll be interested to see how they develop with my dad there as well. So, obviously, a huge advantage for us.
Well, I'm going to start referring to him as your dad because you refer to him as that as well.
I do.
Obviously.
Yeah, you know, I say I've thought about how do I refer to him, and it's like, you know what, he is my dad. He's a great coach, but I'll still refer to him as my dad, and it doesn't bother me. So if you guys want to refer to him as my dad, I'm good with that too.
Absolutely. Brian Callahan, Tennessee Titans head football coach. Now, Coach, you know, you take this job with an offense that has struggled over the last couple of years, whether it be due injury, guys not being available, or the offensive line. Now you have this young quarterback in place who you feel, and I'm sure everyone on that coaching staff feel, has talent. But Titans fans, they want to see like this microwave offense. They want to see instant, you know, instant scoring, instant, you know, the showtime and everything else. How long does it take for an offense to get going? Because it took you guys some time with Zach Taylor in Cincinnati to get that offense to going. But once they started going, boy, oh, boy, were they scoring points. But how long does it take for an offense to really get going the way you envision it?
You know, it does. There's a process to it. You know, you have to build reps over time. As you know, you have to have things that you're good at, things that you can lean on. And then you got to find out what your team is. And I always feel like at the beginning of every season, even in Cincinnati, we were always still trying to find out what were we going to be this particular season. What is our identity as a football team? Because it does change from year to year. Players are different. Scheme evolves. Defensive schemes evolve. And so there's an element of growth that's required. To sit there and say we're just going to roll the ball on the field in September and score 30 points every game we go out, I think is wishful thinking. You know, it's going to be a process, and we got a lot of things to work through and a lot of players we have to add, but I'm confident that we can get there. I know the system works. I've seen it work a lot of places, and I know that we're going to put guys in great positions. So we'll lean on whatever our strengths end up being this year, and as we keep adding talent, we'll keep putting those guys in great spots to perform. And if we're not great on offense and we're really good on defense, then you know what? We'll lean on our defense. We'll run the ball. We'll do all those things to play with the strength of the team. And so whatever it looks like early on, just know that there's a vision long-term on what we expect it to get to. And that is ultimately being able to be one of the better teams in the NFL in passing and one of the better teams in scoring, because that's ultimately, when you look up at the end of the year, those are the teams that are winning games and getting into the playoffs and having chances to win championships. And so that's the league. It's a passing league, but there's a process to get there.
Talking with Titans head coach Brian Callahan, who's in Indianapolis for the NFL scouting combine. Brian, you know, the wide receiver offensive line conversation is not going anywhere. I'm sure at this point you are well versed in this conversation. But as far as the offensive line is concerned, you know, the Titans did take an offensive lineman in the first round last year. Have you decided where Peter Skoronski will play?
Yeah, his best position is going to be guard. There's always a place to cross train, and he'll get some reps there at tackle, but his NFL position, I think he's going to be a dynamic guard. And I do think that he's got the flex to play some tackle if you need it, but I think his best spot is going to be inside. And he went through some growing pains. That's a transition going from a tackle spot to the guard. Things happen faster inside. Bodies are on you a lot quicker. There's an adjustment period that goes with that. And I thought he settled in as the year went along. And I think, again, with my dad and that and his technique and how he teaches it, I think is only going to make him better at that spot. And so I'm excited for what he is. He's everything you want in the position. And so, you know, we'll start with him playing guard and probably cross training some at tackle. Like, all these guys will have to play multiple positions. But I think he's going to be a really good offensive guard.
Okay, so Skoronski at guard, that leaves an opening at left tackle, a potential opening at right tackle. What's your philosophy of filling those holes on the outside? Is it putting a veteran next to Peter Skoronski, or is it attacking that in the draft?
You know, it's really hard to get premier tackles in general, left ones in particular. You either got to draft them high or you got to pay them a ton of money in free agency. And generally speaking, those tackles don't ever make it to free agency. It's rare that a high-level offensive tackle makes it into free agency. Just doesn't happen very often. So if you want those style of players, you generally have to draft them high. There is obviously cases where guys have gotten drafted later and played really well. But for the most part, you look at tackles, they're all usually top 15 style picks and end up playing really well for a long time. And that's where you find them. But I will say that there is some young talent on our line that I do like. I think Jalen Duncan did some good things. I think Petit Fair has talent. I mean, I think we got some guys that have traits that just need to be refined and coached, and hopefully we got more in those spots as well. So not saying that that's where we're going to stop, but we're going to keep trying to add good players. But I think there's some things to work with on the roster as well.
Well, if I was at a university and I had to pick professors, I think your dad would be that professor. Like, I want that class because I know that I'm going to learn the most that I could possibly learn. We're talking with Tennessee Titans head coach Brian Callahan. Now, the Cincinnati Bengals struggled that first year, and you were there. And then finally got that thing going. What were some things that you saw with that whole process that you will now bring with you here and sort of do some of those same things?
Yeah, there's a lot to learn. obviously we got there in 2019, and they had had a couple of issues. They had missed on some early draft picks, I think was what hurt the team. We had some aging players that weren't probably what they were in their prime. But again, that was a prideful organization. I mean, they went to 5 straight playoffs. I think Marvin Lewis is a hell of a coach, did a great job there. I just think that there was a fall off somewhere in a couple of years, and it really set the roster back. And we got there, and there wasn't a lot there that was worth building around at the point. We had, again, aging stars and not a lot of young talent. And so we had to do a great job identifying that talent in the draft. And one of the things I took with me from that particular experience, particularly that first and second year, is we were very intentional about the type of player in terms of the makeup that we brought in. Team captains, guys that played in winning programs was really important to us, and it helped change the culture of the locker room. And then when we supplemented in free agency, we tried to bring in, obviously, the talent is a requirement. But the second part of it was we tried to bring guys that have been on playoff teams, that have been on winning organizations, and that were the right makeup to help supplement those young players with the same traits. And so we're trying to build a locker room of guys with the ones that are already here, which there's quite a few of them, and then keep bringing in that type of makeup and mentality, because I do believe at the end of the day, everyone in the NFL is going to be good. You're going to have good enough players to win games. What the culture is like in the building and in the locker room is ultimately what's going to separate the great teams from the ones that are just competitive. And we're trying to be a great team, and I think that you have to have a great culture involved. That's largely about what type of player you bring in. And I think if you look at our Cincinnati teams, there's not going to be many people that would argue that the culture in our locker room was probably as good as anybody's, I would argue. And it was very intentional. It was part of the process. And I think I learned a lot from that. And I'll do a lot of those things in a very similar manner.
Now, I know that, you know, the NFL has a lot of rules in pertaining to their offseason. They want the players to have their time away from the coaches and away from the building, and allow the coaches to do the things that they need to do as far as evaluating and scouting. But as a new coach, does some of those rules change in regards to you being able to talk to a player currently on your team? Because when you get the job, you want to talk to as many guys in that locker room as possible to get them to, you know, so you can fill them out, they can fill you out. But I understand how the rules can be and are typically in the NFL when it comes to the offseason.
Yeah, you have to reach out to guys. You have to talk to them. There's a lot of guys. The benefit of being in Nashville is a lot of guys live in town, and so I've seen quite a few guys in the building over the couple weeks. We are allowed to have conversations. They obviously can't be of schematic and football nature. It's more of a get to know you conversation. But it's been great. I've reached out. I haven't hit everybody yet. It's hard to get everyone all the time. I've missed a bunch of guys back and forth. But the guys that I have talked to, hopefully, are spreading the same message of, you know, I want guys to come in and talk to me. You always hear coaches say, hey, my door's always open. I've been places where that's been said. It's not necessarily always true. But I live that. My door is open. I want guys to come talk to me. I want to get to know them. I'm trying to build relationships because those are the most important part of this whole process. Is all guys want to know that you got their back and you care about them and you have their best interest at heart. And I think most guys respond well to that. I know I do. That's the kind of people I want to be around. And so – my job is to try to make that environment for the players as well. And, you know, we'll get plenty of time to get to the football stuff. The scheme is there. It'll always be there. We'll get there. But the most important thing for me is building the team and building the culture of the team with the guys that we have in our locker room and then the guys that we're going to bring in.
Brian Callahan is with us. You mentioned just a few moments ago how with a left tackle or any of those premier positions, you either have to draft him high or you have to spend a lot of money on him. And that's unfortunately the reality with free agency. Usually have to overpay for those players. That's just the nature of the league. What would be, and I know it's ultimately Rand Carthon's decision, but what is your approach in free agency? How aggressive do you plan to be?
Yeah, I think I think because you have money doesn't mean you have to spend all of it in the first 2 days. I think there's a methodology to that approach. I think there's a couple of impact positions that are going to require a lot of money and some right out the gate. Corners, tackles, those kind of things. Those things show up pretty quickly. Defensive linemen, that's you got to be prepared to pay the market value for those positions. And sometimes it's more than you want to pay. But with the way the cap has gone and it's gone up every year, I think the number is a little bit less of the numbers are going to get blown out and everyone's going to be, oh, my God, I can't believe they paid that much. Well, ultimately, I think you look at it as a percentage of the cap. And if you're paying X amount of dollars and it's 20% of the cap, that's what it's always been. Just the numbers gotten bigger. I think it puts it in better perspective for what you're paying for the market. And yeah, when you go buy players in free agency, you are at the market value and you're at the mercy of the market. And if you want them, you got to pay for them. And sometimes you have to pay more. But there is positions that are that's okay to do. You're going to go pay a corner. You're going to go pay a high end receiver. You're going to go pay a pass rusher. That's what you have to do. But there's a second part of free agency, I think, that we have to have a really good plan for, and I think we do, is where do you find the value players? Where do you find the guys that you pay $5 to $8 million to that are going to be impact players and impact people on your roster? And so sometimes you can get a little more bang for your buck in that second wave of free agency, and you can add more players. And so when you have holes, you may need to add more necessarily than just having one big marquee splash. Not that you're not trying to get those guys too, but there is a middle class in free agency that I think you can really make an impact on your team. For example, we signed Von Bell in Cincinnati, and he was an impact player both culturally and on the field for a deal that was relatively fair. And he made a bigger impact than his contract, I would say, when you look back on the totality of his time. So it's a fun process, but you can build a lot of different ways, and I think you got to be smart about when you go aggressive and spend really big at the top of the market, and then when you try to find those guys that fit in that middle range of free agency that can still be really impactful players.
How do you approach the tight end position? Because we've talked so much about the wide receiver position, and we've talked about the tackle. Yeah. Obviously, those are two places of need, but also the tight end position. You know, how do you approach and have you evaluated, and what do you think of Chigakonkwo and Wiley? You got two young tight ends, one that has shown a lot of flash in Chig, and then another that is still learning the game. How do you approach and evaluate that position?
Yeah, I'm actually really excited about that position. I mean, those are two young players. I've always felt like it takes tight ends usually between 3 and 4 years to really come into their own. It's a hard position to play. Because they got to do all the stuff in the run game. They have to be in the pass game. They got to know protections. That position probably has to know more of the offensive scheme than any position on the roster because of just the versatility that they have. And so to see what Chig's done in his career, to see the flashes and potential of an athlete like Josh, those are two young, talented players that we have to get the most out of. And I think we can find great ways to use them because – just like any talented player, you find a way to put them in great position to go win matchups. And that's our job as coaches. But I think those guys are both capable of doing that at the tight end spot and can do some of the other things required of the position in the blocking and protection game. When you have a dynamic pass catcher at tight end, you find every which way you can to use them. There's not a lot of them out there, but there is some, you know, the Travis Kelce's of the world, but those guys are so dynamic that they force you to find ways to be creative and get them in spots that they can make an impact. And, of all the positions with young players on our team, the tight end group with those two guys in particular is really exciting. And I think having J.O. there, Justin Outen, coach that group kind of back to what he's been used to doing over his career, I think will really help those guys grow.
We're talking with Titans head coach Brian Callahan. I know the goal is to win games. I know the ultimate goal is to get to the Super Bowl, to win championships, of course. But is another goal of this season to figure out what you have in your young quarterback in Will Levis?
Yeah, I mean, we have to do that as we go. You know, there's I got a lot of confidence and belief in what Will's potential is, and then my job and his job too is to reach it. And I just saw a lot of great flashes when he played this second half of the year. Really, some really impressive stuff. There's a lot of things that he can get better at too, and I think I'm excited about that process for him. He gets a whole slate of OTAs. He gets a whole training camp as the guy, and I think you're going to see a big jump in his ability to play the position. And I'm super excited about that because he's got all the other things that you want in your quarterback. And again, my job and his to reach his potential. But there's going to be some things that probably both for me as a first-time head coach and for him as a first-time full-time starter that we're going to grow. And there's going to be some bumps that we're going to have to fight through and some adversity that we're going to have to face. And I think we're all aware of that. And it's just a matter of how you respond to that is what's going to determine how good ultimately we can be. So There's some elements of the season that are going to be seeing what we have, but that's without question. We're going to try to go win as many games as possible, put ourselves in good position. So I think we're going to be able to do that, but there's definitely going to be some evaluation as we go, too, on what we have.
Titans head coach Brian Callahan. Brian, really appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us, and safe travels back from Indianapolis over the weekend.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Nice to talk to you guys.
All right, appreciate it. Titans head coach Brian Callahan. We got a lot to unpack there. Mm-hmm. Got a lot to unpack there, and we will do that coming up next. Full reaction to what we just heard from Titans head coach Brian Callahan, and of course, we are into your reaction as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 1025, 1063, the game. As far as the offensive line is concerned, you know, the Titans did take an offensive lineman in the first round last year. Have you decided where Peter Skoronski will play?
Yeah, his best position is going to be guard. There's always a place to cross train, and he'll get some reps there at tackle. But his NFL position, I think he's going to be a dynamic guard. And I do think that he's got the flex to play some tackle if you need it, but I think his best spot is going to be inside. And he went through some groin pains. That's a transition going from a tackle spot to the guard. Things happen faster inside. Bodies are on you a lot quicker. There's an adjustment period that goes with that. And I thought he settled in as the year went along. And I think, again, with my dad and that and his technique and how he teaches it, I think is only going to make him better at that spot. And so I'm excited for what he is. He's everything you want in the position. And so, you know, we'll start with him playing guard and probably cross training some at tackle. Like, all these guys will have to play multiple positions. But I think he's going to be a really good offensive guard.
That was Titans head coach Brian Callahan, who joined us in the last segment. Caroline Willie D. Mace, brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. We're live out here at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. Predators in action tonight, taking on the Ottawa Senators. All right, there you have it. You heard it from the horse's mouth. Peter Skoronski will play guard. Frankly, D. Mace, I was kind of surprised that he just flat out said it. I was expecting a little bit of a tussle.
I wasn't surprised at all. I mean, I think they drafted him initially as a guard, and they see him playing his best football at the guard position. I think what people got to understand is this. Just because you tested well or played well at one position in college doesn't mean that as you start to go through the process of evaluation, coaches or GMs don't see you at another position. They don't see you better fitting at another position. And most of the times it does happen. It happens at the offensive line position. Mm-hmm. Whereas you might have played well at center or guard, but they think, okay, you may be better suited for us at center. You know, not that you can't, you know, if something goes wrong, you can't be shifted back over to guard. But for us and our team, the way we graded you grade out, and we feel you have a higher ceiling at center than you do at guard, or vice versa. And I think that's what the situation was with Peter Skoronski, where I think a lot of teams, frankly, I believe the Titans are not the only team that probably more than likely would have put him at guard. Mm-hmm. I think in this league, those measurables do mean a lot. Arm length, mm-hmm. stuff like that. It does mean a lot, because I think when we've heard, whether it was Brian Callahan or Rand Carthon talk, they talked about the length and having to go up against these long, physical, quick defensive ends. Mm-hmm. You have to have some length to you in regards to your arm span. And if you don't have it, not to say you can't play that position, but it makes it harder. So, you know, to me, it's no surprise. I think he will excel at guard once they get him a legitimate left tackle next mm-hmm. to him and a legitimate center. Once you get you a more importantly, a center. Once you get you a center next to you, a Ben Jones type of center, or even better, that's going to elevate Peter Skoronski's play, as well as having Bill Callahan as his coach.
I don't have any problem with it, yeah. Because complaining about where he was drafted at this point, it's Bill Miller.
Yeah,
we've been there.
Yeah.
We've been there, done that. Just blame it on Vrabel because he's gone, so just blame it on him and then move forward. Like, I don't have any problem with it. And the reason why I don't have a problem with it is if Bill Callahan comes in and evaluates him and watches the tape and says that Peter Skoronski is a guard, then he's a guard. Like, if you're going to bring in a coach with the caliber of Bill Callahan and that's what he says, then fine. I have no problem with it. But it does, of course. You know, I thought, you know, before, of course, we heard from Brian Callahan that Peter Skoronski was playing guard. I thought, is there maybe a possibility that Bill Callahan could evaluate Peter Skoronski and say, well, we can put over at left tackle. Mm-hmm. And if that was the case, that would solve so many problems, right? And you could address the left guard position, maybe in free agency. It's not as premier of a position. It's not as hard to find a starter at that position. And then you can focus in the first round on finding good pass catchers and finding offensive weapons to put around Will Levis. Obviously, that's not the case. So that leaves open, you know, that poo-poo is my fantasy. Uh-huh. That leaves open left tackle.
Yeah.
And where you find that left tackle. Any vibe that you got from Brian Callahan of,
oh, man.
What they're going to do. Because he did say, my philosophy historically in my career has been elite touchdown scorers rather than elite non-touchdown scorers.
Yeah, but I think, you know, if he's openly, you know, saying this, then we gotta remember this is sort of that cloak and dagger time where I say one thing but mean another. You know, I do this but mean that. I zig when I zag. You know, you got to keep people sort of, you know, off kilter other teams, because other teams are looking for, even though they know what your strength and your weaknesses are, they would like a tip where you think about going as far as the draft. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would tend to believe the way he did address it, and more importantly, not necessarily the way he addressed the position, it was how he talked about his dad and how his dad and the question I asked, you know, having your dad as a offensive line coach, him being one of the best, if not the best offensive line coach in the National Football League. Does that give you the ability to sort of, okay, we don't have to draft a guy in the first round as long as our guy or those two or three guys that we have earmarked, as long as they're there in the second round, I trust that my dad will develop them into great talent. When he sort of said that, in a sense, it made me sort of think, well, are they really sort of glued on taking a tackle at the seventh pick? Or are they like, we're just going to take the best player available, and more than likely the best player available will be a wide receiver if the draft falls the way we believe it will, meaning the quarterbacks will get taken, it will push guys down, and then ultimately, whether it's Neighbors or Dunze, or they move back and they get one of these other wide receivers, there will be a guy that you perceive can be a game changer at that seventh spot at the wide receiver position. So, to me, I don't know which way they're going, honestly. And I think that's the way Brian Callahan and Rand Carthon, they want it. They want that sort of perception to be out there that we can move down in the draft, because Rand said that. I'm open to listening to calls. He said that on the Chase and Big Show. I'm open to listening to calls for that seventh pick. I'm not married to that seventh pick. So that leads me to believe that, hey, listen, they can take a offensive lineman, they could take a wide receiver, or they can move out of the seventh pick and get both of those guys that they want.
And I asked Brian Callahan, look, okay, so you're putting Peter Skoronski at guard. So where do you go at left tackle? What's the best way to solidify that left side? Is it bringing in a rookie, which, of course, we know, a starting left tackle, you're usually going to have to take that pretty high? Mm-hmm. Or do you bring in a veteran to kind of, you know that you have a solution at left tackle with a proven veteran. You have Peter Skoronski at guard, and as we heard Brian Callahan, he and Bill Callahan, his dad, are really encouraged about what he can do at guard. I think that's his best position. But how do you find that left tackle? How do you solidify that left side? This was Peter Skoronski, my goodness. This was Brian Callahan. Brian Callahan.
You know, it's really hard to get premier tackles in general, left ones in particular. You either got to draft them high or you got to pay them a ton of money in free agency. And generally speaking, those tackles don't ever make it to free agency. It's rare that a high-level offensive tackle makes it into free agency. It just doesn't happen very often. So if you want those style of players, you generally have to draft them high. There is obviously cases where guys have gotten drafted later and played really well. But for the most part, you look at tackles, they're all usually top 15 style picks and end up playing really well for a long time. And that's where you find them. But I will say that there is some young talent on our line that I do like. I think Jalen Duncan did some good things. I think Petit Fair has talent. I mean, I think we got some guys that have traits that just need to be refined and coached, and hopefully we got more in those spots as well. So not saying that that's where we're going to stop, but we're going to keep trying to add good players. But I think there's some things to work with on the roster as well.
that vibe that I got from Brian Callahan is, look, we have a couple of pieces that we think can be good depth pieces, that we think can be good swing tackles. We've seen some things that we've liked. You know, Nicholas Petitfrere has been pretty good. Nothing that I heard in there was a ringing endorsement of what you have on this roster is a solid starting option for you on the offensive line.
No, I mean, Jalen Duncan, you know, Nicholas Petitfrere. I think those are projects. Those are guys that he sees something in them, and he hopes that Bill can get the most out of them. But I don't think that means they're not going to address that position. I think that was more so because even if you look at Jalen Duncan, I think if you can get, you know, those two guys in particular, they should battle. They should battle for that right tackle position, knowing that you can swing one of them left if you need to. If indeed, you know, you whether you address it through free agency to left tackle or you address it in a draft, whether it be your first pick in the first round or your second pick in the second round, if something happens to that said person, like he goes down for a few plays or a game, now Jalen Duncan can swing back over to left. But I think, you know, and I've said this, listen, there's only – people look at this offensive line and say, well, they got to rebuild all five spots. No, you don't. That's not what you do. That's not the business. Football is not in the business of replacing five starters at the offensive line position. What they do is they earmark guys, left tackle, which is important, the center, which is important. Mm-hmm. Let's get those two guys solidified. Let's work with the guys that have already been here that have shown talent, Duncan, Nicholas, and guys like that. Let's work with them and see if we can get the most out of them. Because
with no guarantee that those are your starters.
No guarantee, but what it does is, as long as I can solidify this left side, as long as no one gets hurt and these guys play more and more together, things are going to typically work out because there's no offensive line. Well, there may be like one or two. Philly at one point, and I think the Dallas Cowboys, where you had three, four Pro Bowlers or all pros. That's not offensive linemen. Typically, you have one or two Pro Bowlers, maybe one all pro, and the other guys are just strong links to a chain. Mm-hmm. They don't get the notoriety, but they go out there each and every week and they do their job, and they do it at a level that you don't worry about. That's what they want. They want that outstanding left tackle. They want that leader in their center. Peter's going to develop, but they want to develop some good, sound players on the right side that you don't have to worry about.
We'll continue this conversation. Willie Donich will join the show as well. We'll get into your phones and your reaction from what we heard from head coach Brian Callahan. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie D. Mace, 1025-1063, the game.
Typically in the NFL when it comes to the offseason.
Yeah, you have to reach out to guys. You have to talk to them. There's a lot of guys. The benefit of being in Nashville is a lot of guys live in town, and so I've seen quite a few guys in the building over the couple weeks. We are allowed to have conversations. They obviously can't be of schematic and football nature. It's more of a get to know you conversation. But it's been great. I've reached out. I haven't hit everybody yet. It's hard to get everyone all the time. I've missed a bunch of guys back and forth. But the guys that I have talked to, hopefully, are spreading the same message of, you know, I want guys to come in and talk to me. You always hear coaches say, hey, my door's always open. I've been places where that's been said. It's not necessarily always true. But I live that. My door is open. I want guys to come talk to me. I want to get to know them. I'm trying to build relationships because those are the most important part of this whole process is all guys want to know that you got their back and you care about them and you have their best interest at heart.
Coach Brian Callahan, who joined us earlier. If you missed it, you can find it on your preferred podcast platform and streaming on all of our socials. Caroline, Willie D. Mace. We're broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Today, our Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studio is Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. Predators taking on the Ottawa Senators tonight. And we have Willie back in the building.
Hello,
welcome
peeps.
Back, Willie D.
Yeah, great to be home. It's great to be home.
Yes, man. You've just been on a whirlwind here.
Yes. We got back yesterday afternoon, and then I have to tell you, the hardest thing when you've been on the Pacific time zone for about a week straight, which is what we were, that wake-up call first morning back, where it's like 5:30 Pacific time, 7:30 Nashville time. It's a rude awakening. It's a rude awakening. But we made it. We made it.
Going back to Cali. Cali.
Yeah, yeah. Cali was good. Cali was good. Yeah.
Cali was good for everybody.
Yes.
All parties.
No question about it.
Players and you know, coaches, obviously, and Nashville Predator fans who may have made the trip there, or, you know, the fans here who got a chance to see the games. It was much needed.
There were a lot of Predator fans in Vegas. A lot in Vegas.
Oh, wow.
It's just such an easy, you know, we were walking around the day before the game and bumped into some Predator fans. They're like, I know where you guys are going. We're like, what are you talking about? They're like, you're going to the hockey game. I was like, you know, you're right. They didn't have the Predators gear on. It was the day before the game. So it was kind of a surprise. But then at the rink, you notice you get around the bowl right before the team comes out for warm-ups. They're all standing around the glass in the correct shade of gold, as I like to say, because Vegas has got their own thing of gold down there.
Yes.
So that was great to see. Even in the random California, you know, teams, you still see some Predator fans that make the trip. Like they went out and saw a couple games, stayed out there that weekend. You never know, but it was fun to see. And it's good energy right now. And
yeah.
Andrew Burnett said downstairs, he goes, I want to look at this almost like an extension of the road trip, because this is their fourth game in six nights. Travel all day yesterday. You didn't have time to really get all your bearings coming home. So almost keep that same mentality here. The continuity has been a big key. They've had the same lineup, same line combination, mm-hmm. same defense pairings for every single game. This is the first time all year that they've been able to do that, because most of the time it's not even because of injuries or anything. It's just been because they can't find the right combination. But right now they have four lines that all seem to have good chemistry.
It was a great road trip for the Predators, and the feelings are good. It's nice to have hockey and games that mean something, games that you are in a playoff push. So Predators take on the Ottawa Senators tonight. We'll get into some Predators talk here, but first I wanted to get in to your phones and your thoughts. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, and our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Some of your reaction to what you heard from Brian Callahan on our show earlier. Ben Texan says, it sounds like Brian Callahan leans towards guys that will score touchdowns, receiver or Bowers in round one, but if Levis is not as good as Burrow, that strategy could hurt. There's a lot of quarterbacks that aren't as good as Joe Burrow.
No,
There's only one Joe Burrow, and that's for a reason. I don't think that that's necessarily the case, and please correct me if you feel differently. I think it's less about the specific player and specific quarterback and how good they are, but more of a philosophy. I mean, we've seen quarterbacks that just frankly aren't as good as Joe Burrow be elevated by the pieces around them. Jalen Hurts, I think, was elevated because of the pass catchers around him, and also he had a pretty good offensive line. Tua.
Yes.
If you bring Tyreek Hill into Miami, it looks like all of a sudden a very different Tua and a very different Miami offense. So I think that the philosophy applies more to just players than Joe Burrow.
Yeah, it does. Listen, and Coach Callahan said it. Listen, I know the system works. I've seen it in other places. Mm-hmm. So if it doesn't work, or if it doesn't seem like it's working, it's not the system that's at fault. We have to get the guys and the players that match the system that we're trying to run. And, you know, he talked specifically about the tight end. He seemed like he was more excited about the tight end position than any position, because he talked about, you know, Chika Conquo and what he was able to do. He talked about Josh Wiley and his potential mm-hmm. as a player and his role possibly expanding within his offense. Whichever way I think the Titans go in the first round, I think it will be a position they believe will help them immediately. Whether it be – I don't think they're going tight end, because the way he talked about Chika Conquo and Josh Wiley, I think he believes he has his two young tight ends of the future. So whether it's wide receiver or tackle, whichever way they choose to go, I think it's going to be – the best player for this specific team.
Do you think they're set at tight end with Chick and Josh Wiley?
I think they need another veteran guy. Mm-hmm. They don't need
a Jackie Harris.
Yeah, like a Jackie Harris type of guy. A guy that can come in and just show some stability steadiness at that position because it's so young.
You don't you didn't have consistency from either of those young tight ends. No. I don't think that you're set there.
And Brian said, listen, from his experience, it takes tight ends 3 to 4 years to develop into the tight end that they're ultimately going to be. Why? Because they have so much responsibility like a running back. We're talking about blitz protection, just blocking. Then they got to go out and route. So it's a lot of things that the tight end position has to do before they even get out to catch a pass. Mm-hmm. So, but to me, I think he's excited about that position. I just think they need to hire. They just need to bring in a veteran guy to sort of level everything out.
I also commend Brian Cal. I didn't hear the whole interview, but the clips we played, think about where he is. He's at the combine. He's done a gazillion interviews already. He's talked a lot. But he just seems very engaging, very excited to do interviews, talk about his team. Mm-hmm. I think there's something to be said for that. I think sometimes you get coaches that are like, when is this over? You know, I've been doing this all day. I got stuff to do. We're at the combine. But he looks like he is valuing the time to talk to the fans, talk to the media, and get the message out there. I like that. There's a lot riding on that first pick.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Whichever way they go, 50% of the people are going to say, I don't understand why they didn't take a wide receiver.
Yeah.
If they take a wide receiver, how can you not draft an offensive tackle? I don't know what you're doing. How can you not draft an offensive tackle? Did you see who's playing offensive line? You know, there's going to be that crew, right, that's going to go the other way. With, you can only pick one guy.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, there's a lot riding on the pick. They need that pick to be a foundation piece. There's no doubt about it.
I think Rand needs that pick to be a foundation piece.
It will really help his, you know, notch on the belt, like, jump him in like, I am the man.
Like we said, the clock started on Rand Carthon as soon as Mike Vrabel got fired.
Well, of course.
You know, the owner's got a short fuse. So that pick's important for the team. That pick's important for Rand Carthon. Speaking of Rand Carthon, we also heard from him. He spoke with the media earlier today. And whenever you hear from, you know, GMs, coaches, or people in the know, I always wonder, are they just saying something or are they telling you something? And I think Rand Carthon was telling us something. I think Rand Carthon was telling us where the team is leaning in the first round. And we'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.
L-E-D-E-N-E-Z. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.